strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
All right, here we go. That's the cue right there. And folks, we're going to need it loud. We're going to need it so much louder than that. Are you kidding me? The man is going to Seattle. We need to simulate that crowd noise.
It's called pandering, Paulie.
We got to get him ready for a false start field. And maybe if you're loud enough, you might drown out Wolf. That's the benefit. Added benefit. It's a win-win all the way around. It is the Big Red Rage, a meaningful addition in December. How about that, Calais, right? All presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, and the big man, Calais Campbell, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello.
It is December 19th, and you guys are going into two very meaningful games straight ahead.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, this is what football is all about. You know, this is the best of the best, you know. And that's what if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. So it's going to be kind of exciting to go into Seattle, where it is very loud. But since I play defense, it doesn't really affect me at all.
It's true. That's true.
Can you talk about the mood in the locker room and just how much you guys talk about the playoff possibilities? Is there a lot of conversation about the playoffs, or is it more just being focused on Seattle?
You know what it is it's you know, it's everybody's mindset is just do our part. You know, I mean, we can't control if we get into the playoffs or not, but what we can control is how well we play and what our record is when we finish. So, you know, we go 11-5 and we don't make it. Hey, I mean, that's just, you know, the way it's supposed to be. But if we go 11-5 and we do make it, well, I mean, that's more what we want to hear and what we want to see. But, you know, to have the opportunity and to not finish out, that will hurt, you know, for us to, for the people to lose that we need to, and then us lose one of these games, I mean, that will really hurt. So, you know, our focus is just taking care of business.
You like the fact the NFL stacks up the schedule with the division games at the very end. You like that?
Yeah, I think it makes for exciting football. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of football games on this week that are going to catch a lot of people's eye.
Mm-hmm. And when you play a division rival, here's what I like about it. You can agree or disagree, but this is sort of the feedback I get from the locker room is, you know what? You're going to find out the best team because you know the Seahawks very well. They know the Cardinals very well. You know, you're not that much is going to catch either team by surprise. It comes down to, all right, who's going to play the best game with the best players?
Right, and I love it because any given Sunday, you know, it's just good football. Who plays the best football that day? You know, I think our teams match up very well. They're a very good team. I think we're a very good team. And Sunday, we'll figure out who's the best team.
Boy, I'll tell you what, this game, it has got my attention. Do you think the Seattle Seahawks respect you guys?
You know, I think they do this year. I think last year, maybe not. You know, I think they, you know, but the first game we played them, I mean, I think that, you know, they took a big lead and had a little advantage, but then we, you know, started to score a little late and we shut them down on defense late. They couldn't get, you know, they couldn't run the clock out and do what they wanted to do. So I think they learned that, you know, they better respect us because we're not just going home lightly.
Cardinals aren't intimidated by Seattle, are they?
Not
in that
at all.
Stadium?
Not at all. You know, I mean, me personally, in my experiences, I've won there before.
You played very well there. In fact, there's a lot of numbers that will break out during the course of this show. You've had some of your best games in Seattle.
And I'm eager to get back there and have another good one.
Yes, I like that. Absolutely. What a start to the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Our special guest, straight ahead.
Sassadil to hold, Leach to snap, Feely to kick. The 41-yard try to win the game in overtime. Snap, ball down, Feely's kick is up. Feely's kick is good! The Cardinals win it in overtime, 37-34. They secure a winning season. They keep their playoff hopes alive. Let's get out of here.
Oh, baby!
Yeah, that's what it sounded like on Cardinals Radio there. Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley here, the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford and Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell is the man, and guess what? The way I figure it, you guys beat him twice. You almost lost it in between, but you beat him in regulation, then you beat him in overtime, and then, as Todd Bowles said today, at least this is according to your defensive coordinator, you guys sort of checked out and started watching the clock. That was his assessment.
Yeah, I think that might have been, might be a little true. You know, during the game, you know, we took control in the third, in the fourth quarter, and usually we take control in the fourth quarter, it's over. You know, and they're not really a throwing team, and they're more of a running team than they are throwing. So the fact that they went down the field and threw the ball like that, I think, caught us off guard because we didn't really expect it, you know. And, you know, I think we mentally had already won the game and, you know, was just kind of focusing on other scores and stuff going on. So it happens, but, no excuses. I mean, once we turned it back on, I mean, we won the game, but we shouldn't. We should always finish it out until zero's off on the clock.
You know, it's very difficult to turn that switch back on, isn't it?
It is. It very is. But
really don't understand that unless you play the game and have played the game at a fairly high level, right?
100%. You know, it really is hard. But, you know, I think when we match up against them, we match up well. And, you know, they got the ball first in overtime. And I think, it became like that mentality just came back on. It was hard to get it back on because in the fourth quarter when the game was on the line, I mean, we were trying to turn it on. We couldn't.
You know, can I just say this? Because it's been my experience. I was more impressed. You know, the fact that you guys blew a 17-point lead with just over 6 minutes to go in this game, that really doesn't shock me. What does shock me is that you guys were able to win it. because I know what that's like, right? When that switch goes off, man, it is really hard to find it. You cannot find that thing. And the fact that you guys were able to do that and find the switch in the extra period, the overtime period, and then win this game, that's what shocked me. Not the fact that you blew a 17-point lead with just over 6 minutes to go.
I think we really had the belief that we could win. You know, I think that's really the difference. In our team, we knew that we could win if we just played football. So we regrouped, we settled down, and then we just played football. And momentum is hard to stop. I mean, they had all the momentum. So
in
those situations, I mean, every sport you ever play, momentum can, you know, win Super Bowls.
But especially in a game of football, don't you think, Calais?
Oh,
because
yeah.
It's such an emotional game.
100%.
It's palpable. You can feel it, can't you?
Yes,
when
you can.
That momentum gets going, you can feel it on the sideline. If it's against you, it's not a good feeling, man. It is one of the worst feelings you could possibly experience, but you feel it collectively. And then when it's with you, there's not a better feeling in the world when you know you got the other guy on the run and the route is in front of you, right?
100%.
You know what shocked me? Ryan Fitzpatrick. I guess it shouldn't. I mean, he played a pretty good game with the Bills a year ago, but, I mean, that guy was slippery. That guy, yeah, he had some good escapability, didn't he?
He did. You know, he was a lot more athletic than I thought he was, you know. And, I mean, he was hard to tackle. He was very just elusive. And, I mean, he threw the ball well, too, down the field. I mean, he put the ball around the money a few times. And, I mean, he played like an all-pro quarterback.
I mean, he led quite a comeback there. I mean, you know, they scored that 17 points in the last 3 minutes plus. And, I mean, you know, like you said, if it wasn't, you know, for a certain somebody, right, filling in, all right, who's going to be a special guest on the show with a couple of picks, I mean, that changed everything, not only the pick six, but then the interception in overtime as well.
Yeah, man, that guy played special, man. We need guys like that to step up. That's the only way a good team, you know, when one guy goes down, the next guy steps up, and you don't miss a beat. That's good football.
When you guys met as a defense, what was Todd Bowles' demeanor like when he got up in front of you? Knowing that you guys, again, had played so well for 3.5 quarters, gave up 17 points over 3.5 quarters plus, and then gave up 17 points in the last 6 minutes. What was his mood like? What was his demeanor like?
You know, Todd Bowles, what I respect about him is that he doesn't get too angry and he doesn't get too excited, you know. He's kind of like
that. He's very even-keeled.
Even-keeled. And, I mean, he'll get after us a little bit and, you know, try to hype us up a little bit. But in the situation, he was like, yo, you know, this is the situation we're in, you know. Wow. Just regroup and let's get it done. You know, especially like right there, like right before the overtime started. I mean, he looked us in the eye and said, hey, step up.
You know,
that's
did,
a good thing about him being on the sideline, right?
Yes, it is. It's huge.
And I saw him a few times. He sort of takes a deep breath, doesn't he? He kind of rolls his eyes, and he takes a deep breath, and you can tell, you know, right there, you know, there's some consternation building inside on your defensive coordinator. The guy who fired everyone up, correct me if I'm wrong, was Carlos Dansby.
Yes, Dansby's definitely our emotional leader. On that team, on defense, you know, I mean, he gets us going, he gets us hype, and then when things are going wrong, he's the one that pulls it together and says, hey, let's pick it up.
Those dirty.
Like going into that overtime. I mean, that's when he got everyone going, right, after that. Look, as Jay Feely said after the game-winning field goal, it's not college. There's no such thing as style points. There's no voters. You know,
right.
You only points that count are those points on the scoreboard. And that's the great thing about the NFL. You know, as Dave said at the end of that call right there, Dave Pasch, get out of here. Get the win. Get it in OT. And move on. You are 9-5. You have secured the fourth winning season in the Arizona history of the Cardinals. You have a chance at 10 wins. You are the number one ranked rushing defense. And we just go from there and you go into Seattle. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Pooch kick. And it's muffed. It's ball loose at the 25. The Cardinals jump out at the 22. Antoine Kaysen with the recovery for the Cardinals. Fitzpatrick throws far side, and it is broken up, picked off by Kaysen at the 20. Far side of the 10, he'll walk in. Touchdown! Antoine Kaysen with a huge pick six. Here comes a blitz. Fitzpatrick hit, throws near side, intercepted by Kaysen at the 30. Comes back to the near side at the 40-yard line. Gets a block at the 45, and then drilled at the 46-yard line. The Cardinals have the ball after a Fitzpatrick INT.
Three of the biggest plays of the game, and we have the radio calls to prove it right there. Dave Pasch, Cardinals Radio Network. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell and his very special guest who comes with his own intro there. You pick it up from there.
Yeah, man, this guy right here, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when you can just be a role player for so long and then in week 15 they ask you to step in and become a starter. And, you know, the way you come in and command the game, take over a game, actually be the MVP of the game, and really the MVP of the league that day. I mean, you heard the plays on the pre-thing. It was fumble recovery.
Yep. Pick six.
Pick six, and then the game-saving interception to set up the game winning field goal.
I mean, the game was trending the other way. There's no doubt. He steps in overtime.
My man, Antoine Kaysen, you're a superstar in my book, man.
Last time I saw you, Antoine, we were doing the post-game radio interview, and everybody kept coming in and interrupting our live radio interview because they're giving you props, and they're giving you hugs, and they're shaking hands, and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a pretty good week for you, starting last Sunday, hasn't it?
It's been a good week. Yeah, to say the least, it's been a real good week. It's just been gratifying for me, too.
Personally, talk a little bit about that, Antoine, if you would. Just how rewarding is it to get an opportunity and to be able to see yourself come through? And did you ever doubt yourself?
It's huge. It's very huge. And like you guys said, week 15 I come in and play. All year, or all training camp, beginning of the year, mid-season, I definitely go through those things where, am I going to play this year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's going to happen? Is what's next? You know, and I still felt I had a lot to give,
right,
to a defense, to a team. So continuing to work out, even on the days off, is what I had to do to keep myself going. So I would go in on the Mondays we had off, or I would go in on the Tuesdays we had off, just to do something to keep myself in shape, to keep my mind going. Because if I sat at home, you know, I'm just thinking of, you know, probably the not good situation. So for me to just get out, get in the environment of football, get in the environment of working out, getting in the environment of staying ready as if I'm a starter was very huge for me. And I have good people behind me, my family, my father who played the game, who I talk to every day. So that was definitely a big key for me. It definitely wasn't all me. And I owe a lot of people a lot of credit for allowing me to continue to play, allowing me to continue to be humble, allowing me to continue to work as hard as I can. And those encouraging things really, really help.
You got good parents. You know that.
You also, though, have the ability to draw on experience and the confidence of that experience because you started how many games for how many years in San Diego, right?
Yeah, I started my time in San Diego, and I haven't missed a game at all. When I was drafted there in 08, we were drafted the same year. So we go way back to the last year in college. We were on an All-American team together. Yeah. But since then, I haven't missed an NFL game due to injury, due to anything. So that was huge. My confidence level, it's interesting how that works, because when I was in San Diego as a starter, I was out there playing. You're in playing shape. You have confidence. You know what's going on. You know the defense. You just have ultimate confidence in yourself out there. So then when I was here and I wasn't playing, I'm still a confident person, but it's definitely different when you're not playing at all and then have to step in, say, once the season already has momentum going. So I had to continue to prepare my mind to say, hey, I'm going to step in like I never left. I'm going to step in for these guys who have been playing well all year. I'm not going to be the new guy who comes in and look like the stepchild or look like the guy who wasn't working all year or wasn't really into what we were doing as a team.
How important is the confidence? How important is it for a corner? I mean, Antoine, to me, I look at a cornerback in the National Football League, and I think it might be physically the toughest job there is to walk out over some of these guys that are world-class athletes themselves. To walk out there, there's a big difference between a wide receiver and a corner. A wide receiver knows where he's going. A cornerback does not know where he's going. How difficult is that, and how much confidence do you have to have?
You better have some confidence, because what teams do is they isolate you too.
Yes.
So especially me coming in week 15, what do the other coaches think that I've been doing? I'm just going
to
hang out. So we're going
to
attack the new. What have you been doing all year?
Yeah.
So for me, it was all those isolation plays that could possibly happen for me, putting me out there on the island. Where's Waldo, so to speak, you know, and that's what we say. You don't want to be Waldo, because that's who they're trying to isolate and get plays on and, you know, make their hay. So confidence is key. And if something happens early, something happens within the game, you have to let that go, and you've got to keep on going. You just got to let it go and continue to believe in yourself.
Well, there is something better than a pick six. Calais might know the answer to this based, okay, on this season so far here on the Big Red Rage. The only thing better, Antoine, than a pick six is a pick six in Spanish. Courtesy of the Cardinals Spanish Radio Network. Roll it.
Tiene el balón Fitzpatrick. Va a lanzar por el extremo de la izquierda. Ahora sí, lo interceptó Antoine Kaysen. Y se lo va a llevar de regalo a su casa. Touchdown, Arizona! Antoine Kaysen.
There it is. Gotta I think he that. Blew out the speaker on that one. Gabriel Trujillo. Oh, my. That's Si. Have you ever heard one of your highlights before in Spanish?
No, I haven't, but I've heard soccer highlights in Spanish, and they sound awesome.
that's your new ringtone for the holidays right there. Jim Omohundro. He'll hook you up there with a call of it. But, you know, Calais, it's one thing. Like, for example, you know, we talk about a guy stepping in, right? Okay, Tony Jefferson stepping in this week. Now, he's an undrafted free agent rookie, you know. But when Antoine stepped in, you knew. First off, you go back to college and All-American teams. You knew he was a starter in San Diego. So I'm going to guess inherently there was some confidence in the rest of the D when he got out there. All right, this guy can get the job done.
We knew it. We see him in practice every day. You know, he handles business, so we weren't worried at all.
You know, Coach Arians talked this week about how tough it can be for guys who aren't starting to not start sulking, right? As he said, you know, get the lip out, you know, poor me, that kind of thing. Because you never know in the NFL, like you said, week 15, all of a sudden it's your turn, and if you haven't been keeping in shape and staying in the playbook, boom, that chance passes you by.
That shows you how much of a professional he is. You know, he knew that he had to do something extra. And just to be ready, just in case the moment came. And it did, and you see what happened, you know. I mean, every guy out there who's in a situation where they're not playing yet, they need to take notes from this guy. Because Antoine Kaysen, he knew exactly what he needed to do, and it showed on game day.
Antoine, can you quickly take us through that pick six? What cover you were in? What you were thinking? What kind of look you got?
Well, I knew I had a man. So I decided to kind of feather in and out of a look. And when I saw the ball snapped, I read the three-step having the receiver in my peripheral vision. So I knew he wasn't going to run by me based on the position I was in. And when I saw the quarterback set up on the three-step drop, that let me know the receiver wasn't going to continue to go deep. And then I didn't squat. I just broke. I said, my chips are all on the table.
And he went for it.
And that's and that goes back to the confidence in yourself to know and be confident that I got this look and I see this guy in my peripheral and you take that chance.
Yeah. And don't forget the recovery of the muff kickoff return as well. Boom! Antoine Kaysen was right there when the linebacker dropped it because Coach Arians knew the guy didn't have very good hands based on the pass. Back right after this. Wilson under center. It is a quarterback sneak to the left, and Wilson doesn't get there. Calais Campbell with a big hit.
Calais Campbell comes down on a pinch and collapses the left side of the line.
Into the 40-yard line is Lynch, and again, wrestled down by Calais Campbell. And back to throw goes Wilson with time in the pocket. Going to get hit by Shaughnessy and sack at the 7-yard line. The ball is fumbled. It's still loose, and the Cardinals have it. It's picked up by Campbell, and he's tackled at the 3-yard line.
Dirt Lickers. Unite!
Oh, that was week 7. Yes, that was on Thursday night. That was part of a Cardinals game where Calais Campbell had 9 tackles. And who's the host of the Big Red Rage? Calais himself, all presented by Santan Ford. Yes, we are back here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Special guest Antoine Kaysen. And so, Calais, what do you remember from that game? Because you were all over the stat sheet, as we just heard there on Cardinals Radio.
I remember picking up that ball on the fumble and realizing the end zone was right there in front of me. And as soon as I decided to take a step, somebody just grabbed my leg, and I was like, oh, man, I couldn't pull it loose. And I was so worried about fumbling because, you know, I mean, I don't touch the ball that often. You know, it's not really in my hands that often, so it's uncomfortable in my hands. So I was a little nervous, and I was like, you just take this ball and fall down.
So you wanted to pull a Dan Williams or a Matt Shaughnessy, and boom, you wanted pay dirt right there.
I wanted it, too, but, you know, hopefully I get another chance this week. It'd be nice to get in the end zone. In Seattle, that'd be nice.
What did you guys do right as a defense in that first meeting against Seattle, and what did you do wrong?
You know, I'll tell you, I think we had a good game plan for what they're trying to do in the run situation. You know, but I think, you know, one of the things that we really needed to work on is we should have understood Russell Wilson's escape routes. You know,
yes.
We blitzed him off the edge. And we didn't realize that he was going to go deep and give ground. And he throws the ball so well on the run that, I mean, he's pretty much, you know, when you got him on the run, it's like him sitting in the pocket, you know, like a normal quarterback sitting in the pocket. So, you know, we realized that, you know, you have to blitz him and make him step up into the pocket. I mean, he's a short guy. He doesn't want to be in the pocket. So, you know, him scrambling to his right, he's dangerous. But him in the pocket, you know, he becomes a normal quarterback.
You know, he had the 3 touchdown passes in that first game. He had no picks. That is a very key stat, isn't it, Antoine? We look at Russell Wilson, and that's pretty much the norm with him. I mean, he's very accurate. He's good on his feet when he needs to be. He always keeps his eyes downfield, listening to guys in the locker room this week, and he's very smart back there. Makes a lot of great decisions, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely a good player. And for me, enough about Russell Wilson. It's about what we're going to do back there to disrupt, you know, what he does well.
All right, how difficult is that when a guy has that sort of athletic ability, the escapability? How tough is that to disrupt him?
It's tough, but when you're up for the challenge, you're up for the challenge. Anything can happen. You know, he's not unstoppable, and we're, you know, a team, and I'm sure Calais can, you know, say it best, that those guys up front are confident in getting to him. So we on the back end definitely, as DBs, have to continue to stay with our receivers no matter how long he runs around. It's what we have to do, you know. No complaining about it. Just do what's needed to be done to create, you know, 3 and outs or, you know, no points.
You know, it's very interesting to listen to some of the comments that Bruce Arians was making about the Seattle Seahawks and the fact that he doesn't consider them to be a dominant team. He considers them to be a very, very good team. And when I heard that from Coach Arians, immediately what I thought of were so many coaches that I had that always talked about respecting your opponent and not fearing your opponent. There's a big difference there, isn't there, guys?
100%. You know, it's one thing to respect them. You have to respect the opponent. I mean, they earned respect. I mean, they won the first meeting. The record's the best in the NFL. But it's another thing to understand that, I mean, they play football the same way we play football. Our guys match up just like their guys match up. And, you know, I feel like if we both play our A game, you know, I think that we're a better team and overall, you know, but I mean, I think they played their A game this year. They played their A game a lot more often than we have, but our A game, we've been playing a lot lately, and I think if we continue to play our A game, it'll be a tough
you
team.
You got anything to add to that, Antoine?
For me, this is my first year here. You think of the dynamic of the two teams. Their coaches have been there for a little longer, or longer than ours, of course, and you know, everything here is pretty new, and we've gotten a lot better really fast over the course of this season. So that's huge for me when I look at things like that, and knowing what we can do against a team like that who's supposed to be this dominant team. Mm-hmm. You know, the first meeting, you know, there were some things we just can't give them, and that's what we have to clean up. And the next game could just be a totally different game, and you'll look like, well, who are they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what you know, and individually, that's what I say. I go out there with that confidence. So as a team, when you do that, it's sort of the same effect.
But I can see where it would be easy as a player to maybe look at them from afar, right? And especially some of the younger guys who don't remember, you know, the recent memory where you guys used to dominate Seattle not too long ago. But it'd be easy these days to look at it and buy into the accolades, buy into the hyperbole, buy into the fact they're number one in every single power poll everywhere. They haven't lost at home in 2 years. I mean, I could keep going on and on. They set a Guinness record for crowd noise and all this kind of stuff. And so to me, like Wolf, when I heard Coach Arians, I said, you know what? He's trying to guard against any sort of crisis of confidence in the locker room. Do you sense any of that? Do you have to talk to any of the younger guys and remind them, hey, this team is beatable? Do you have to do any of that?
Yeah, a little bit sometimes, but for the most part, most of the guys who play long enough know that it's football, and I mean, no matter how good a team is, you gotta line up and play 60 minutes, you know, and I mean, we're a good team too. And so, you know, for the younger guys who are not sure, and they, you know, you turn on the TV and all you hear is Seattle, how good they are. They're the best team ever, you know, according to the media and SportsCenter and NFL Network and any other station. But, you know.
Well, their next road game is going to be right back in New York again for the Super Bowl. You know, that's what they're talking about.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they say, you know. But if you break them down on film, I mean, you've seen some good teams go out there and rough them up. I mean, you know, we watch a lot of film to prepare ourselves. And you watch the Tampa Bay game, and they lost the game, I think, in overtime. But Tampa Bay was—they had a great game plan and they executed well. And I think Tampa Bay's just—they're not there yet as a team yet. But I mean, that's—they gave them a run for their money. And then you know, watch them on the road and notice—I mean, what's different at home and in the road? You know, and it's the same team.
Well, a lot of teams like New Orleans probably aren't, you know, not used to those conditions. You guys go up there every year. You know what you're in store for. New Orleans shows up, probably the vast majority of their roster, even though they lost that playoff game a little while ago. You know, probably wasn't prepared for that feeding frenzy. So when it gets sideways, they can't get it back.
Yeah, the one thing I love is defense travels in the National Football League. It really, really does. You know, your offense gives you hope when you get down that you can come from behind. But your defense gives you morale on the sideline when your defense is able to hold up on the road. You're literally standing in the breach, that defense, holding back the Huns, so to speak. And that's the reason why I'm confident we can give them a game with our defense.
It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Four here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell, Antoine Kaysen back after this. Play action pass, Wilson hit, fumble the ball. John Abraham came flying around the corner, and sack force fumbled on Russell Wilson.
Oh, it is so good to see John Abraham get the edge on Bowie and make a play.
Play action pass for Wilson, in trouble, sacking the ball, comes out, and I think the Cardinals got it again. John Abraham forced the fumble.
Right around the corner comes John Abraham again, gets the strip again. That is John Abraham, classic, vintage Abraham.
How about John Abraham? Here's the stat. All the numbers right in his entire career. He's the only active player with at least a partial sack against all 32 teams. How about that?
Wow.
And the career active leader with over 133 career sacks, 48 forced fumbles. This is not going to end. I mean, he is on a roll, is he not, Calais?
He is, 100%. You know, I remember the first six games, he didn't have a sack. In the first six games, he was sitting there sackless.
Man.
And everybody's like, you know, John, I mean, you're the guy. What's going on? And he said, they'll come. You know, I mean, me personally, we had a good conversation. And, we're just talking because we always talk sports and we always talk pass rushing. And he said, they're going to come. And they come in bunches. So be like, just wait for them to come, you see. Mm. And, I mean, you look at it 10 weeks later, and, I mean, 11 and a half. It's not bad.
Not bad.
You know what, guys? I remember talking to Bruce Arians about this very thing, and I asked Coach after John Abraham started getting some sacks, after going six games sackless, as you were saying, I asked him, what's the difference? What is he doing? And Bruce Arians held his fingers, his index fingers, about 4 inches apart and said, that's the difference right there. He's getting that edge once again, really getting that shoulder down, and he's about 4 inches closer to the quarterback than he was before, and he's getting the ball.
You know, his first multi-sack game, he was our post-game radio guest, and he cited the shoulder. He said he was having a shoulder issue and the injury, you know, it kind of reminded me of Rashard Mendenhall. You know, he finally got healthy and boom, looked like a different player. And, you know, got rid of the knee brace, Rashard, right, and boom, you know, and in the toe, and it finally healed. And it's amazing because in the NFL, that is the margin of victory, is that much, you know, just between your two fingers.
Yeah, John Abraham also runs a 4.41, at least he did in the combine. That's crazy to me. But, I mean, when you run a 4.41 40, I mean, that's fast. That's corner fast. I mean, I don't know what you read in the 40, but I'm sure it's around there somewhere. I mean, when you
no wonder he's still playing at 35. No, I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, no wonder he's doing. And he also attributes just playing a lot of snaps and getting into the rhythm instead of being a situational pass rusher, you know. And Antoine, I don't know about you, but maybe do you find that helpful as well, you know, as a guy, you know, and you probably spelled here in some different packages, but now last week and I presume through the remainder of the season, you're going to be out there virtually every snap. That's got to help you get into a rhythm.
No question. It gets you into the flow of the game, coming in, out. Sometimes it's hard to get into the flow. It's hard to get into a rhythm. You know, you come in one play or two plays, and you don't get too much action, or someone catches a ball, and then you come out. Mm-hmm. You know, you always want to kind of get in there and make a play to avenge the last one, and then get in the rhythm of feeling good, feeling more confident. But it's just one of those things where, come on, get in the rhythm, and you just keep yourself going.
Calais, when you consider Andre Ellington and everything that he has been to this football team as a rookie here, what makes him such a tough matchup for opposing defenses?
You know, his ability to catch the ball makes him very special. I mean, he runs great routes. I mean, he runs routes like a receiver. But then he has great vision as a running back. You know, I mean, he's a rookie, but he doesn't have vision like a rookie. I mean, I tell you, every single time I talk about him, I don't know how he got drafted so late, because if you look at the way he plays football, I mean, he's a natural football player. He has great vision, explosion. He has everything you want in a running back. You know, he's tough. I don't understand, you know, what the scouts didn't see in him, but I'm glad we picked him up.
Antoine, Carson Palmer said that he could be a number two receiver in the National Football League. You are a corner. You know receivers very, very well. Do you agree with that?
Not buying it? Andre Ellington?
You know what? I love the honesty. It's all right. It's a matter of opinion.
Hey, if he feels that way, then that's the way he feels.
I love it. No, you know, that's classic. That is a defensive guy right there saying, there is no way in the world this offensive guy's got a much higher estimation as to what Andre Ellington would be capable of. And you being a defensive guy, you can't even bring yourself to saying that.
But against a linebacker, though, he's in business.
Well, here's the other thing, and you guys, true or false, when he's out on the field, the Cardinals' offense gets different defensive looks. I mean, Antoine, when you get a guy like that, you know, whether, you know, it's Andre Ellington, and I'm not going to put him in the same class as a Chris Johnson or anything, but a guy who can make a lot of guys miss and has some top-end speed to him, I mean, it does change the looks an offense will get, just his mere presence on the field, right?
It's huge, because he's so versatile. He can do so many things. Like you said, he can line up in the slot and do different and create a someone's going to think about, okay, what am I going to do with this guy, you know? So the matchup issues that he has or that you can utilize with him makes it difficult for other people to plan for it. I mean, like Calais has said, his quickness, his vision, you know, his ability to catch the ball, his speed, toughness, I mean, all those things packed in one is huge for a player, and he has it.
I mean, I heard a lot of Cardinals defensive guys say they had half an eye on Chris Johnson the entire game. You're playing your scheme and your responsibilities, but you got half an eye on their big threat, their home run threat, you know, and if that's the sort of element that an Andre Ellington would bring, I mean, that just merits him being on the field, period. And so I can see where Coach Arians is trying to get him into different packages, I would presume, right?
100%. You know, with Chris Johnson, you always keep an eye on him, because if he gets to catch a screen or a flare pass, he can take it to the house. So, you know, you're always ready to break and try to slow him down, and it makes your pass rush a little neutralized.
Mm-hmm. Would you, by the way, Todd Bowles assessed the defensive front today, and he said guys didn't use their hands as well. You know, and they didn't quite get some of the penetration. How would you assess how you guys fared and, you know, the pass rush or lack thereof at times against Tennessee?
Yeah, there was a lot of time where we didn't play with great technique. But there was times where we did too. You know, just got to be more consistent. Consistency is a great thing in football.
All right, it is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Special guest of Calais Campbell, Antoine Case, and we continue to roll on here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center right after this.
It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens, rice and stuffing macaroni and cheese, and Santa put gifts under Christmas trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, snow white so bright. In the fireplace is the Yule log.
Well, yes, moving and grooving here. Reminds me of the sideline. You do a lot of that when the music's playing over the PA system, you know, during TV timeouts. You know, yeah, that's how you keep loose, I guess, huh?
Yeah, get in the zone, man. I think my mind just, I lose myself in the moment, and I mean, I love it. That's what football's all about, man, just embracing the moment, the atmosphere.
Okay, real quick, power poll. Top three dancers on the team. Top three guys with the top moves on the team. If you went to the club tonight, who would it be?
I'm going to let you answer this one.
Come on now. Who would it be?
I don't know, but I don't know if he can dance too well, but he dances a lot. And Anthony McLeod.
Oh, yeah, he likes to dance.
He likes to dance.
But, yeah.
But, I mean, is it good? We don't, you know, that's, yeah. That's another.
Does he take a verbal beat down? Does that guys offer their opinion on it?
You know, Dockett yeah. gives him a hard time all the time. I love it. It's yeah. quite humorous. It's yeah. the best thing ever.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah. Tom Jefferson is a pretty good dancer, too.
Does anybody do the hockle? In the locker room. That's what I want to know.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't even know? Okay, the Samoan War Dance.
I've been begging.
You know what? Tony Jefferson knows that. He's done it.
If somebody teaches you how to do that, we got to get together. Okay.
I've been begging Alameda to do it. And he just said, you know, hey, that's serious business. I can't joke
around.
Is
that what he said? Yeah, see? Because a lot of them, they won't do that. But, yeah, man, that is something that a lot of my Polynesian brothers, they do it a lot before the game. And it's something that I would love to learn, Paul. Can you imagine that, doing the haka, especially around Christmas time?
Wolf just likes to say it. So, again, it sounds like he's clearing his throat, you know, the whole, you know, he just loves it. It's sort of a tough guy word over there. He likes the way that sounds. By the way, speaking of Alameda, can I get a comment on him running fullback? For many of you guys, Wolf, a former fullback, you guys on the defense, there's your guy. He's in there, and he's blowing up defenders and paving a way to the end zone.
I'll tell you this. A couple of days ago, he showed me footage on his film of him just smashing the guy.
That's great.
I'm like, how do you have game film on your phone? I'm like, where'd you get this from?
On that first Rashard Mendenhall touchdown, he absolutely domesticated a defensive lineman that had shot the gap. I'm talking about blunted him and drove him into the end zone. It was unbelievable to see a man that big be able to get off the ball. And when you're a blocking fullback and you're leading on that ISO play, you better get to the hole quickly.
That guy, he's quicker than he looks.
He is quicker, yeah. Antoine.
He's a lot quicker than he looks.
He's quicker than he looks. I was so impressed with that. Hey, we're going to see that again.
100%. If you didn't hear a whistle, he would have put him in the stands.
So you're saying that got a big rise out of everyone on film, I guess.
100%.
Yeah. All right. Basically, knocked the guy into Christmas. So speaking of Christmas, I know you've had your events. I was at Patrick Peterson's event the other night. I mean, these are great things. You take the kids out, Christmas with Calais. What's been the hot toy so far? What do kids want this year?
I tell you, when we had our event, the whole Apple section was just, I mean, it went fast. You know?
I see. Technology.
Yeah, the technology is, I mean, that's where it's at. That's the world we live in. But those kids are so happy. I mean, iPods and iPads and everything else they could find. I mean, they had fun.
Antoine, favorite Christmas or holiday tradition?
When my family gets together. A lot of food, a lot of family, hanging out at home, having a great time.
Yeah. All about family.
It is with me. All about it. Surrounding myself with positive people, good people. My family's always been there.
I love to be
around them.
Yeah. Calais, any holiday Christmas tradition?
Yeah. Over the years, we always have a little dance contest, like Soul Train Lines. You know?
Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a segue. We come full circle here in this segment. We started with a dancey win with it. Okay, all right.
I'm definitely not the best dancer, though, I'll tell
you
that. No?
Okay, which one of your brothers? I mean, you have, what, seven brothers?
Yeah, they all dance better than me.
I see. Right, but that doesn't stop you from dancing.
Not at all. I love to dance.
That's great. See, I love that. That's outstanding. By the way, you know what's a really touching thing about Calais' event is how many of the kids who don't come from a lot of financial means, and you give them, you know, their gift card, they spend it all on their family. Isn't that great? You think they'd be out there picking up gifts for themselves, and so many of them just spend it all so they can get gifts to their family. And that is truly the spirit of the holiday. There's no doubt about that. The Big Red Rage presented by Santan 4. We continue to roll on here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell, Antoine Kaysen.
Tis the season to knock somebody into the new year. Feeling pretty merry and jolly right now. Although it's fun to say fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, I can guarantee it's a whole lot more fun to deck the halls with balls of bloody. Wolfly Claws, is that what you called me? 1 minute, you know, your brave heart storming the battlefield on your white steed, and, you know, the next thing you know, one helmet later, you're little Jack Horner and you're eating a Christmas pot. And I think on that last play, Jamie Martin was eating some Christmas pot. They're going to feel like they ate a 4-pound holiday cheese ball. This is like Nightmare Before Christmas. He went north and got lit up like Rudolph on a power line. Lit up big time like Scrooge on a highball. God bless us, everyone.
Wolf doesn't hesitate to work the holidays into the broadcast, you know, at every opportunity. Gets into the Christmas spirit there, as you hear on Cardinals Radio. It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Antoine Kaysen, the special guest of Calais Campbell. You know, maybe you go up there and the Seahawks are distracted a little bit by the holidays or what have you, but I made a comment earlier today. You know who's really into the Seahawks? The Seahawks. It just seems like, you know, I mean, my goodness, and the fans and the crowd, and now they're all bent out of shape because there's this video, this commercial out that portrays the Seahawks fans, right, and the Colin Kaepernick commercial as being, you know, borderline lunatics and all that. But give us a sense of the scene, because you've been up there so many years now, and it is truly unlike any other venue in the NFL.
Yeah, as soon as you come out the tunnel, there's all kinds of, like, signs. They're trying to, like, you know, talk trash to you. Everybody's yelling, calling your name. Hey, Campbell. Hey, Campbell.
There's always that one guy at the very corner, right? The apex. Yeah. He's hanging over with the signs, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and I mean, they talk a lot of trash, but it's all fun and games. I mean, you know, I mean, they're not like, you know, mean or, you know, like
Raider fans.
Yeah. Not crazy like Raider fans. They're more like just, you know, they like to just get in your head a little bit, talk to you a little bit, so.
Look at that photo fired up on the laptop. And that was, tell us about that. Okay, it's a photo. Give us the play-by-play of what happened there, because you're reaching up, and it looks like you're grabbing the sign out of the guy's hand.
Yeah, I don't know. No comment on this one. I think you might be better to leave that one alone.
You know what? I remember that sign, and it wasn't nice. There was some derogatory stuff on that.
It was.
Caught red-handed.
I couldn't make the sign live. The sign had to die.
You know what the caption should be? It should be, I didn't realize they had a 6'8 guy on their team. Because he's hanging over and all the Cardinals are coming out. Nobody could touch it. And then Calais grabs it, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what? Seattle fans, they hold signs. Philly fans, they throw D batteries. So, you know.
Oh, boy. Nothing like, you know, Tucson, they're a little more civil, too, over there. You know, Antoine, as you have the U of A gear on, by the way. What are you guys ranked in basketball, by the way?
One.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. Absolutely. I expect payment for that later. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. We roll on. Calais Campbell, Antoine Kaysen. All right, a reminder, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Paul Benzel Jewelers in Yuma and Arizona Watch and Clock in Tucson. We wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. And let's not bury the lead, guys. Calais Campbell, special guest Antoine Kaysen. Any team that goes into Fall Start Field, well, that's how it got its moniker on the show, okay? And O-line, it is critical. You go against them every day, so how much more equipped is the Cards O-line now than maybe they were when they gave up 7 sacks in the first meeting in Week 7?
A whole lot better. I mean, everybody's, you know, they're finally stride, you know. Confidence is everything, and I think everybody's playing with great confidence right now.
You know, Antoine, do you anticipate yourself playing more zone cover because of Russell Wilson, because of the fact that he can pull the ball down and scramble, and when you're playing man, you don't have your eyes on him? Do you anticipate yourself playing more zone?
My mentality as a corner, put me in whatever you put me in, and I'll get the job done. That's my ability.
Do you think you'll still get targeted quite a bit as the new guy in there as a starter and the guy opposite Patrick Peterson?
No question. And that's where I like to be. So that's how confident I am in myself. And having a corner on the other side, Patrick Peterson being so well, that, you know, that allows me to step up to the challenge.
Marshawn Lynch, toughest tackle in the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, him and Adrian Peterson maybe – But, you know, he just keeps his legs moving. You get his legs, you know, he goes down.
Is he, like, grunting and snorting? That's what you can't hear anything in the stadium, but I always envision him, you know, just like this tornado. Just, you know, just like in there, and he's just making all these sounds, and he's grunting and all that. I mean, what's he like? Does he talk? Does he say anything to you?
Maybe a little bit, but not too much. I mean, once they get a league going, he might talk a little trash, but he's more just, you know, he puts his head down and goes to work. I respect him.
All right. Anything else Coach is emphasizing this week? Anything he has at the top of that grease board? Any sort of bullet point there, Calais? Huh?
Keep Russell Wilson in the pocket and tackle 24.
Okay. All right. There you go. Thanks, guys, for Calais Campbell, Antoine Case, and Ron Wolfley. I'm Paul Calvisi. Thanks to everyone here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
What's up, what? What's up, Aces?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.